Shall I not wash in them and be clean? And he turned and went on in a fury. He's like, I am not dipping in that dirty water he wants me to dip in. I could have just stayed home and dipped in water if that was the answer. And his, how many girls were, well, if God wants to heal me, he'll heal me right here. Well, what if God wants to heal you at a different conference? What if God wants to heal you running up to the altar on a Sunday morning when nobody else is going up to the altar? What if God wants to heal you by you reaching out and praying for somebody? Do you understand? God is in charge of how you get the breakthrough. You are not. That independent spirit wants to be in charge. You, nobody's going to tell me how to do this. You know what? Oh, I get people so mad at me. They go, will you pray this? Oh, no. What do you mean you won't pray it? Because praying is not your answer. You're just going down the prayer list. Let me ask you a few questions. How's your diet? Do you exercise? Do you discipline your children? Whatever the problem is. Do you make time for your spouse? What does your house look like? Wait a minute. You know, get the things in order, and he'll give you grace to do it that need to be in order. And then we get to have the spiritual side also. The spiritual side might show you why the other thing isn't in order. The inner healings will help you to get free enough to get those other things in order, okay? You can't decide how it has to be done. That's why you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. He chooses how it's going to be done. He makes the way of escape, and he will humble you in it, just so you know. This guy leaves mad. I wasted my time. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet has spoken a great thing to you, would you not do that? How much rather when he says to you, wash and be clean? And he went down and he dipped in the Jordan 7 times, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh returned like the flesh of a little boy, and he was clean. And he went back to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came in and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is not a God in all the earth except in Israel. Now please take a blessing from your servant. Okay. He's so excited that he's actually healed, that he's getting his life back, that God is real. He's so amazed that God is real. So he goes back to Elijah's house, and he wants to give Elijah a blessing for this. He wants to pay him for this because he's just so excited about what God has done for him. And he said, and this is Elijah, as Jehovah lives, before whom I stand, I shall not take it. And he pressed on him to take it. So Naaman kept pressing Elijah, come on, please, I really want to do this for you. Please let me do this for you. But he refused. Elijah refused to take the money. And Naaman went on and said, if not, then let me load of earth for a couple of mules burden to give you. Let me give you a couple of mules for your servants. For your servants shall not make any more burnt offerings and sacrifice to other gods, only to Jehovah. May Jehovah pardon your servant for this thing when my Lord goes to the house of Rimmon to bow there, and he is supported by my hand. And I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, may Jehovah pardon your servant this thing. And he said to him, go in peace. And he went away from him. Okay. So he's basically sitting there saying, I'm not going to bow anymore to other gods. I'm only going to serve your God. I don't need these cults because I'm not going to sacrifice. Let me give this to you. I want to give you something. And Elijah does not serve mammon. Now, I've got to be honest with you. Most of us would have a little thing pop up in our head. That would begin to tell us why it would be okay to take the money. We'd have something pop up in our head to tell us how we could use it for God's kingdom. We'd have something pop up in our head saying, that's good. And I'm just going to say this. The reason this is so dear to my heart is because it was the spirit of mammon that I was serving, not knowingly serving it, because I hadn't had any of this teaching. I didn't even know any of this. When I told the Lord to either put me in ministry because I couldn't stand not to preach anymore, or to take me home. So basically I said to the Lord, Lord, if you're not going to put me in ministry now, this was 20 years ago almost, then just kill me. And my daughter was dead within a week. And I know that I know that I opened that door. Now, this story, I wish somebody had taught this to me and I would have had ears to hear back then. I'm sure somebody was teaching, I just didn't hear it. And I wasn't trying to hear it. Because I remember being excited about ministry, reading and studying the Word, having Bible studies that were pretty successful, and with all my heart crying out to God, I wanted to preach. But I remember at the same time listening to a lot of the teaching in the faith movement, which I'm all for the promises of God, and I'm all for the message of the faith movement, but there is a lot of spirit of mammon in there. And with mammon in my heart, I really did want to mix serving God and mammon, because I remember thinking, this is great. I can preach, have a ministry, and make pretty good money doing this. Now, my heart was never to preach to make good money. I already knew I could make good money. I was college educated. I have a background with business people. I had already had a small business. I knew that I had a talent and a gifting to be able to. I never really worried about not making money. I remember making a vow when I was young and I saw my mom struggling and always on my dad about money. I made a vow when I was young. I broke all this, but that was serving mammon to say, you know what? I'm going to get educated and I'm going to have a job and I'm never going to need anyone, including a man, to take care of me. I knew. And that was all set up by the spirit of mammon. It was the enemy trying to get into my heart, cause me to make a vow, cause me to become independent. I mean, when God told me to give up my job and John pay all the bills, I was like, I have to ask him for money? I mean, God had to close down my business practically before I let go of it. And God's been dealing with that independent spirit and breaking those vows. But let me tell you, this stuff is real, because the Bible says you will, when it comes to mammon, you will love one and hate the other. You cannot serve both God and money, the Bible says. You will love one and hate the other. You will adore one and despise the other. But let me tell you, the day my daughter died, I knew which one I hated. But up till that point, not intentionally, do you know what I mean? But in my heart, I was trying to do both. In my heart, I was trying to do both. And so Elijah here is saying, I am not serving God and money. I am not going to use a miracle to make money. And I think we all need to let God get this out of our hearts, especially if you go into ministry. Boy, the people in ministry could hear, need to listen to this message. And when my daughter died, 1 week after that, and during that week, a man in the church who was serving God and mammon, because that was in my heart, so I wasn't protected from it, he came to our house. He purposely chose my husband and I because he knew my husband made pretty good money. And he came to our house and tried to sell us insurance. And when my husband said, we have good insurance, we're not interested, he said, from the spirit of mammon, yeah, but you know your children can die like that. You need some insurance for them. Do you know how much it costs to bury one? No, thank you, but I found out a week later. He cursed us because he was serving mammon and God. You need to watch your motive for selling your product. And when he spoke that, I knew. I didn't know what I know now, this was years ago, but I knew enough to know something's wrong with this. And the Holy Spirit said to me, when he leaves, you and your husband pray and you break the power of that curse. Now, I didn't hear the Lord as clear as I do now, but I knew in my heart, ooh, we got to do something about that. And here was the bait. Here was the spirit of mammon in me. He, after that, we didn't buy insurance, but he turns to me with flattery, and he says, Cindy, you have such a calling on your life, and many people in the church are using this multi-level marketing plan so that all you have to do is get some of your friends to sell this product, and then you get a part of it, and that frees you up to go to the mission field. Oh my gosh. That spirit of mammon in my heart, that desire to preach God and have the finances and all this work together, oh my gosh, it was like, wow, this is an answer from heaven. And all I could do was study that, how to make money without doing anything. Boy, the people who sell those books and those kits make so much money from the spirit of mammon in other people's hearts. And so, and this was all over the church at that time. At that time, you couldn't go into a Sunday school room that somebody wasn't trying to get you to sell something for them or buy something from them. I mean, it was really big. If you were invited to somebody's house, you're going to find out it was probably a counterfeit I am. And it's not the way. So this was all new to me. So anyway, so the week went on. At one point, both my sons were almost hit by a drunk driver. I mean, like within that far. I felt the spirit of death. That was like on a Thursday night. I freaked out. I broke the power of it. I had to forgive the person. It was a brother of the neighbor, and I was just so thankful they were alive. But 2 days later on Saturday, I felt the exact same spirit as the tree branch fell and went through my daughter's head. I was actually reading the how to make money off of your Christian friends and getting them to sell these coupon book things. I was actually reading that, and her blood went all over it. And her blood did not touch my Bible that was sitting beside the chair. So when the ambulance and everybody had taken her body to the morgue, and I'm standing in my family. Actually, her body was still in the yard because they couldn't find the coroner. Her body was in the yard like 3 to 6 hours, something crazy like that. And I was standing in my family room, and I looked out. Her body was right beside, down the steps from there. And I said to God, why did this happen? And what shocks everybody, he told me. And he said, because you didn't break the curse that was spoken over your children because of the spirit of mammon in your own heart. He called it greed, the greed in your heart. People hate that God would tell me that. Why didn't he just say, I'm so spiritual that Satan wanted to hurt me? Because if you ask God the truth, he's going to tell you the truth if you will listen to hear the truth. And I didn't have a spirit of condemnation, so I'm thankful for that. I know there's no condemnation in Christ, and I'm in Christ. That doesn't mean we can't miss it. It means when we do miss it, we have a God who's bigger than what we just missed. But I will say this without question. I hate it. Greed and mammon that day. And I loved God. And I have been 20 years getting really free from the love of money. And I'm going to get there, you guys. I am going to so completely get there. I don't want anything of the world's way of doing stuff. I'm in a kingdom, and I will gladly give God the tithe, the offering, the alms, whatever he wants, whenever he wants it. And I want to love more than I love now, and I want to give more than I give now, and I want to have more freedom in hearing him when it comes to finances than I've ever had before. So Naaman comes back, and Naaman says, come on, I really want to bless you. I'm so excited, I really want to bless you. And Elijah says, no, I don't do this for money. But look what happens next. Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said, behold, my Lord has spared this Syrian, Naham, not to receive from his hand that which he has brought. As Jehovah lives, surely I will run after him, and I will take something from him. And Gehazi ran after Naaman, and Naaman saw one running after him and got down from the chariot to meet him and said, peace. And he said, peace, my Lord. My Lord has sent me, saying, behold, this now two young men from the hills of Ephraim have come. So he's lying now. He's devising a plan. He's devising an evil plan to benefit from what God did through Elijah. Okay? He has something in his mind that is looking out for him. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to get this thing out of our minds tonight. I want to get this thing out of our minds tonight in Jesus' name. It's a thing that talks to you and you think it's God, and then you get into a business deal and it falls through. It's a thing that causes confusion on what you're to do with money and how to get money. And I will say, and let me just say this. My motive for wanting to get people to sell this product so I could be in ministry was not a bad motive. I had already, my husband and I had already chosen that I would stay home and raise our kids until they got into school. That I wouldn't go after a career. That if I did jobs, it would be part-time. We had, you know, John and I did one of the things that most people don't think of doing because they're so lusting after each other and planning a gigantic wedding that they don't stop and look at the real things that matter. But John and I were very practical. We still are. And before we got married, we decided how the kids would be raised, how long I would stay home with them, how we would not get in debt, how we would live within his budget so that that could happen. You know, the spirit of mammon takes over and it decides your life. It decides how many children you're going to have. It decides when you're going to get a house or not get a house. It decides who you, do you understand what I'm saying? The spirit of mammon is much more than, oh, I want some money, give me a good job. It is a spirit that wants to be in control of every area of your life. It's where, and it calculates in your mind, just like in this little guy's mind here, it calculates, how can I get that? How can I get that? How can I work that? How can, oh man, I want to be free from that. I'm pretty free from it, but I want to be completely free from it. I don't want to look after myself. I want God to look after me. He doesn't need a partner with that. I don't co-partner with God, okay? I'm over that doctrine. I yield to him. I hide in him. I just enjoy him, and I let him do whatever he wants to do. And I'm, you know, we're the body that he operates through. So yeah, my body is a living sacrifice to him, and that's my acceptable service. That's expected. When you accept Christ in your heart, it's expected of you to give your body to him. So if he wants you to preach, you preach. If he wants you to go to the Philippines, you go to the Philippines. Anyone here who did not go to the Philippines because you did not have the money, you're serving mammon. Anyone here who decides what you're going to do based on how much money you have, you are serving mammon. Are we happy? Hey, you got to recognize what you're doing so you can turn from it and quit doing it, right? Now you're going to learn, this doesn't mean pretended faith. This doesn't mean I go and buy an airline ticket on credit and call it faith. That's stupid. Because God says don't get in debt. I can't get into all this tonight, but over the next couple weeks or whatever, we're really going to deal with that. Is that okay? Like if you say no, is it going to phase me? You know, see, this is a big one because we really are at the end times. And when everything is shaken that can be shaken, this is the big one coming down. The Bible says that Babylon comes down in one day. Do you know what Babylon? Babylon is this world system for finances. The Antichrist is going to rise up because Babylon's coming down in a day. The whole world's going to be in chaos and crazy, looking for some way to survive. I want to just be led by the Spirit of God. I want to be really free in that time. I want to be shining bright in that time. I want to be trusting Him to take care of me in that time. Okay? So we got a ways to go, don't we? I know it's just me, right? All right, so Gehazi ran after Naaman, and Naaman saw him running, got down from the chariot to meet him and said, peace. I mean, Naaman's happy, right? He just got a major healing. Hey, peace. And the guy goes, hey, my Lord is, they're like, hey, peace, man. My Lord has sent me, saying, behold this now, two young men from the hills of Ephraim have come to me, the sons of the prophets. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments. Elijah doesn't have any money to give them. He doesn't have clothes to give them. Could you help us out? We weren't expecting this unexpected company. And Naaman said, be pleased to take two talents. And he forced these on him and bound two talents of silver and two purses and two changes of garments and gave two of his young men and they carried before him. In other words, he said, here, guys, give him more than he's asking for. Of course we're going to help Elijah. Of course we're going to help these sons of the prophets. Oh, thank you. And let me say this. Is that your heart? When God does do something for you, is your heart to give? There's nothing wrong with Naaman's heart is right. Naaman is saying, I want to give to this God. I want to give to this kingdom. I want to give to this Elijah so he can do what he's doing. I'm so excited about this God. I want to give to him. That should be your heart. Your heart should be, God, I want to give you everything. What more can I give you? How else can I help? And I'll say, this is a very, and I know it's because of all the inner healing and deliverance, but because of all the inner healing and deliverance, this is a very generous church. And we have guest speakers come. They always say, I can't, your church is so small, and I don't want to offend anybody, but we don't look that rich. If you don't believe me, look around. I mean, I'm sure, maybe, well, I'm not sure. Actually, that's not true. I was going to say there's a few hidden rich people here, but I don't think so. But it's amazing what people led by God and God in charge can do and can take care of. It's amazing. It's amazing the faithfulness of God. And people are always amazed at how faithful God is through this church. We don't have to beg or anything. Y'all would run anyhow. You wouldn't go for that. So he gives them this stuff. He sends them his young men. 24, and he came into the hill and took out of their hand and put away in the house and sent away the men. And they went, can you see? I'm like, I don't want Elijah to see you guys here. Okay, I'll take it. You know when you're sneaking around and you get that paranoid thing.